Thank you. So the work I'm presenting here is a system that we've built called Cumulus for backing up your data to the cloud. This is joint work with my advisors, Jeff Volker and Stefan Savage. To begin with, just to motivate this work a little bit, cloud computing is an important emerging area. We actually heard yesterday about Amazon S3, what that offers, how it was built. In looking at this, we've classified these systems along a spectrum. We call them thick cloud versus thin cloud. The general breakdown here, when I say thick cloud, I'm talking about some service that you're buying where you get the complete package of what you want. So in the case of backup, you buy a backup service, you're paying someone to back up your data. Salesforce is another good example of this. Advantages of thick cloud, they're fairly easy to set up. You're paying for a backup service, you get a backup service, you don't have to do very much. They can also potentially achieve greater efficiencies because the provider of this service can build their infrastructure for the specific application that you're using. The other end of the spectrum is a thin cloud. This is something like Amazon Web Services, which Amazon S3 is part of. In this case, the provider is giving basic building blocks, but it's up to the customer to build the specific application that they need. Some advantages of this are that you are not tied to a specific service provider offering the exact service you need. Any service provider offering fairly generic service, storage or computation, can be used. So you can potentially migrate between service providers. You have more choice, and because of this competition, potentially lower costs. So we think that the thin cloud model offers some advantages, as I listed here, particularly for an application like backup. And we wanted to investigate how well can we do with this fairly simple interface, a very basic building block. The provider is not implementing everything that we need for us. So when I'm talking about backup here, what I mean by this specifically, so you have data on a system that you want to protect against accidental deletion or some type of catastrophic loss. For this, you'd really like offsite storage of your data to guard against a tornado hitting your building, for example. Sending the data over a network to some remote storage server, such as a cloud storage provider like Amazon S3, is very attractive. For backup, we would like to be able to store backups at multiple points in time so that if it's necessary to go back and find an old version of a file, it's available. Recovery, it should be possible to restore individual files at specific points in time or recover all of the files in a backup snapshot. There are a few constraints that we're putting on the implementation. As I said earlier, we'd like to investigate a thin cloud model, so we have only a very simple interface to the storage service. The storage service is offering a get and put interface of blobs of data, but you can't necessarily rewrite parts of a file. It may offer a list and a delete function, but we don't depend on anything else. So this simple interface implies that any application logic implementing backup has to be built into the client because it's not available at the server. And in this talk, I'm focusing on cloud storage, but the interface that we're relying on is simple enough that you could run our system to backup data to an FTP server or negotiate with a friend or store data into a peer-to-peer network. Anything that offers get and put will work. And finally, the goals that we have to achieve in the system, we'd like to minimize the resource requirements, minimize the amount of storage that's needed for backup, and the amount of data that needs to be sent over the network. And of course, because the provider is probably charging you for the service that they're providing, we'd also like to look at minimizing monetary cost in particular. The general design of our system. Cumulus is fairly straightforward. There's nothing particularly novel about the backup format itself in the abstract. The backup is structured as a tree or a DAG. At the root, we have a small block that, as a descriptor, this was a backup taken at a particular point in time. That root will then have pointers to metadata for the files that have been backed up. The metadata will in turn have pointers to blocks containing the actual data. A file might potentially be broken up into several blocks if it's larger. As I said, we'd like to keep snapshots at multiple points in time. So if you were to create another snapshot on the following day, you'll end up with a second tree or DAG for the new backup snapshot, which, if some of the files have not changed, will point at the same underlying blocks. By sharing blocks between snapshots, or potentially even within a snapshot if there's duplicated data, we can minimize the storage requirements at the remote server, and we can also minimize the amount of bandwidth that's needed to transfer this data to that provider. There is one complication that arises. Various providers and protocols might have, in addition to a per byte cost for sending and storing the data, there may also be a per file cost. For example, depending on the protocol being used to communicate with the remote server, sending every block separately might have a high overhead. The provider might have overheads, and those overheads might even be expressed as a monetary cost. S3, for example, charges, in addition to the number of bytes transferred, charges for each operation that's performed. So transferring the same number of bytes as many small files is more expensive than aggregating the data into a large file. So Cumulus tries to address this problem through aggregation of data. So we have these this tree structure representing a backup, and the blocks will be grouped together into larger units, which we call segments. And then each segment is stored as a separate file on the storage server. And here, the aggregation does follow from the constraints that we're working with. If you had complete flexibility to design the protocol and the storage server, you might not have this constraint, so aggregation might not be needed. But for our system, it is important. Aggregation does introduce the problem that you can have internal fragmentation as time goes on. So graphically, I'm illustrating what might happen as you create multiple backup snapshots. So imagine on the first day, you back up your data. All of that data is packaged, say, into a single segment and uploaded to the remote server. There's no wasted space at this point. On the second day, you create another backup snapshot. A new segment is uploaded to the server. And because some of the data from the first day is still around, we also keep around the segment for day one. Although perhaps some of the files in that previous backup snapshot have been modified. Suppose for this example we only care about keeping the most recent snapshot. We have to keep both segments, but some of the data in the first segment is data that doesn't any longer exist on the system. That's wasted space on the storage server. As time goes on, we can end up with more wasted space in older segments. The solution to this is very much like what is done in the log structured file system. We have a segment cleaner. This will identify old backup segments that contain some useful data, so they couldn't be deleted completely, but most of the data within them is not needed. Those segments will be, we will clean the data in those segments. Any of the data that is still needed, we will rewrite into a new segment. And that means that the new backup snapshot, so on day four, rather than depending on segments one and two, we've rewritten that data into a new segment. Those old segments can be deleted, which reclaims the storage space. The way that our system is implemented, unlike something like LFS, it's not actually necessary to pull these old segments down from the remote storage server to rewrite them, because the segments that we're rewriting contain data that we want to preserve because it exists in current backup snapshots, we can just pull that data from disk as we produce the new backup. In this work, we look at how we can tune the system, how to tune the segment size, how to tune the thresholds for cleaning, specifically in a backload, in a backup workload to minimize the costs. We've gone ahead and actually implemented Cumulus. The general design is as I've described. It's implemented as a bit over 4,000 lines of code, a mixture of C++ and Python. Each execution will create a backup, package the new data into segments stored on the remote server. There are also tools for maintenance, cleaning up old backups, restoring files, etc. The implementation does track some data on the local client, so there is a block cache database. Cumulus is able to do some deduplication before data is sent to the remote server. It also tracks metadata from the previous backup so that changed files can be identified and correctly reference old data from old snapshots. This information that is stored locally on the client might be lost if all of the data on the client is lost. This data is not essential to be able to recover the data from a backup. It's only used for creating backups, and most of the data can be reconstructed if you do have to restore the data. Cumulus implements various other features, compression to save space, encryption for data privacy as it's stored on the remote server, efficient incremental backups of large files that have been changed in just a few small locations. There are more details in the paper. And the system is in real use. I've been using it for over 18 months to keep backups. To evaluate our system, we wanted to look at a few key questions. In particular, we wanted to look at what are the resource overheads, specifically network and storage, imposed by the fact that we're only allowing ourselves a very restricted interface to the storage server, compared with what you could possibly achieve if you were using something more like a thick cloud model, where the storage server is customized for backup and you can use a custom protocol, the remote server can reclaim space. The fact that we're not doing that imposes some overhead. How much is that? Because we're paying for the system, how do those overheads translate into monetary terms? How can we tune the system to reduce those costs? And how does the prototype perform in practice? To evaluate our system, we collected a few different traces. In particular, we have one trace that we looked at, which collected data daily over an extended period of time from our research group file server. And there's also a trace collected from a personal computer. In this talk, I'm going to focus on the user trace. This is more representative of perhaps what an end user, say using Cumulus at home, would see. A few key points in the trace. So again, this has been collected over a more extended period of time, over 7 months. The median and average file size, as we would expect from previous studies, is relatively small, which is an argument for needing aggregation. In this example, there's a fairly modest amount of data. So this would be if a user is trying to keep backups of their most important data, so perhaps a few gigabytes of important data. The system, of course, scales up. We first evaluated Cumulus in simulation, and we are comparing against an idealized optimal backup. So in this case, since we're looking at the storage requirements and the network requirements, we're comparing against the baseline values. If we want to back up the data, what is the amount of unique data at the client that needs to be stored at the server if there were no inefficiencies in the storage? And how much new data do we have to transfer over the network? We are using simulation in this case so that we can quickly analyze a large number of different tuning parameters to see what works well. In this simulation, we're considering the effects of aggregation and how to choose segments for cleaning. At this point, we're ignoring compression and the overheads for tracking file metadata. We do look at what the effects of those are separately. That's discussed more in the paper. I won't really go into that very much in this talk. The first question you might ask is cleaning actually necessary? So assuming that we've decided that we do need to aggregate data for cost reasons, do we need to clean as well? And the answer is yes, we believe. This graph is showing the results of two different runs of the simulation. The black curve shows the results of a simulation run in which there's no segment cleaning being done. Along the x-axis of the graph, we're showing as time progresses, each day we take a snapshot. And in this example, we're only keeping the single most recent snapshot. We're plotting the average utilization of all segments that are needed for that backup. So if none of the data in a segment is needed, we can delete it and reclaim the space. If some of the data is needed, we have to keep that segment around. But how much of the space on the storage server is actually storing data that we care about? As time goes on, the storage utilization drops. By the end of 200 days, almost half the space that you're paying for on the remote storage server would be wasted space. On the other hand, implementing a simple segment cleaning mechanism, in this case, we're cleaning data on a weekly basis, so that's why the graph is periodic. The blue curve shows that with cleaning, we're able to keep the utilization high. There's only around a 5% overhead on the storage side for cleaning with one particular set of parameters. And this overhead tends to be fairly stable with time, unlike the no cleaning case where utilization was continuing to decline throughout the entire backup simulation. In that graph, I was looking just at one set of parameters. We did want to look at how would you tune the system, look at different parameters, and how does that affect the overhead. So this graph is showing each point in this graph is representing a particular set of cleaning parameters. Along the x-axis, I'm listing a cleaning threshold. In this case, we're using a fairly simple mechanism to choose segments for cleaning. A cleaning threshold of 0.8 means we're requiring that all segments be at least 80% utilized. If a segment drops below 80% utilization, we will then consider that segment for cleaning and compact the data on the next backup. We're comparing the amount of data that's being transferred over the network versus an optimal case where we never have to redundantly send data over the network for cleaning purposes. As we increase the cleaning threshold, this means that we're trying to clean data, clean segments more aggressively to reclaim space, which means we have to upload more data to the remote site. So as the cleaning threshold increases, the network upload overhead is increasing. We also look at the effect of various segment sizes. As we decrease the segment size, there's a lower overhead because there's less data being aggregated together. We tend not to have old data grouped with new data as much. So from this graph alone, we would want to be in the bottom corner of the graph. Don't do very much cleaning. Use small segments to reduce the overhead. If we look at storage, the picture is a little bit different. In this case, smaller segments do still help. But if we're not cleaning very much, so in this case, cleaning thresholds near zero, we're wasting a lot of space. This is what we saw in the original graph looking at whether cleaning was necessary at all. In the simulation I'm showing here, though, at very aggressive cleaning, we're also seeing an increase in storage. Results from keeping multiple backup snapshots. So in these simulation results, we're keeping snapshots at multiple points in time. The way that we keep multiple snapshots, each snapshot will depend on all of the segments that it needed when it was originally written. We don't go back and change segments after we've produced a backup. So if we clean very aggressively, there's a lot of churn in the segment data. Different snapshots may depend on different copies of the same data in multiple segments, so the overhead tends to increase. So in this case, we would want a moderate cleaning threshold and, again, a low segment size. Looking at the total backup costs in monetary terms, here I've listed the amounts that Amazon S3 charges for storage. You could also look at what would the cost be for different price structures. We do take a look at how the system changes if the costs are different in the paper. So there are three costs: storage costs, upload costs, and there, as I mentioned, Amazon charges on a per operation basis as well. In this graph, I'm incorporating all of these costs together, and this graph includes the per operation costs as well. So we have the same general shape as before. We want a moderate amount of cleaning. But in this case, as we decrease the segment size, initially decreasing the segment size helps reduce the cost. But for very small segments, we're paying more in the per file cost than we're making up for from the cleaning overhead. So the gray curve shows small segments of 128 kilobytes. That actually has a larger cost than using slightly larger segments. So moderate cleaning threshold, around a half, and segment size, half a megabyte to a megabyte, tends to work well. This summary from the simulation, looking at the breakdown, the storage cost does tend to dominate. So tuning that is most important, but the upload costs and the per file costs do come in as well. The cost is not overly sensitive to the tuning parameters, so if the tuning is not exactly right, you're not paying too much more. And importantly, the overhead is not very large. 5 to 10% more than the best we might expect if we had no overheads at all in the system. So compared to a thick cloud model where you might have an integrated solution that can reduce the overheads, well, you're not really paying all that much more if you build the system yourself. Our prototype, as I said, we did build the system. I'll just highlight a couple of key results from analyzing this. We did fully restore a number of files from the user trace and have Cumulus try to back those up. The system did work. In this case, the costs are somewhat lower than in simulation, and this because compression is able to help us out. The simulator was ignoring compression. The ongoing costs for backups can be as low as 24 cents a month for a couple gigabytes of data. This is just keeping the most recent snapshot, but keeping more snapshots doesn't add very much. We did compare with a couple of other systems that are also able to back up data to S3. Brackup and Jungle Disk are two other such systems. Cumulus is able to achieve lower costs than these systems on the same data traces. Part of this Jungle Disk, for example, is a general network file system for Amazon S3, so it's doing more than Cumulus. As such, it experiences higher overheads because it's a more general purpose system. Brackup is not as tuned for backup, but Cumulus is able to achieve very low costs. And compared to a thick cloud system, if we actually are looking at the costs, just to pull out one example, Mozy is one such system. It offers $5 a month for unlimited backups for home users, whatever unlimited actually means. But for 10 cents a gigabyte, a system like Cumulus is fairly competitive. If you're looking at something more like an enterprise system, seeing what perhaps their actual costs are per gigabyte, they're charging more like 50 cents per gigabyte versus perhaps a bit over 10. So by taking advantage of perhaps cost efficiencies from a more generic storage service and building backup yourself, you're able to potentially get lower costs. So in summary, we think that Cumulus is a cost-effective tool for doing backup to network storage. In this work, we've shown how you can try to build the system and tune it to minimize the total overall cost. And we think that Cumulus is able to show that a specialized server is not necessary for implementing low overhead backup. And a system like Cumulus allows you to choose from a variety of storage providers based on cost. If you're very concerned about your data loss, you could perhaps even back up to more than one storage provider. Since it's a very simple interface, it's very easy to mirror the data to both. And with that, I will take any questions that people have. And if people are interested, the project page is listed there and the source code is available.
Irfan Ahmed, VMware. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about how deduplication might play into this, and then also whether you've considered things like data scrubbing? For example, that might be a feature of a thick stack cloud, but here we're relying that S3 is not going to flip your bits on you.
Okay. So the first question on deduplication. So Cumulus does actually implement deduplication at a fairly coarse-grained level. So if there are identical files at a single client, it will identify those and store just a single copy. I haven't built a high-performance deduplication system at very fine granularity. Because all of the work is being done at the client, if you are trying to back up data from multiple different clients to the same remote storage server, we're not able to coordinate those backups and perform deduplication across clients. So you could do that with a server-side system, although there are some reasons to do things as we've done them. If it's a home user, you probably aren't trying to deduplicate across many systems. If you're trying to do deduplication at the server, then you probably have to either give up some amount of privacy so that the server can represent that data, or perform more communication with it to identify the data. And if there are multiple users, it does complicate accounting for who's being charged for the data. Second question you had on data scrubbing. Yes, we are mostly relying on the provider. If you want, there has been other published work looking at how to audit a storage provider to verify that it is still storing your data. You could use error correcting codes if you wanted for redundancy.
Mike Zelico for QuickLogic. I might have missed it. You had the number there at 24 cents for 2 gigabytes. Mm-hmm. What does this data represent in terms of scheduling? Is that full backups, incremental backups? How does that work?
So the goal of the system is that the first time you create a backup, you're doing a full backup. You have to send all of your data. And if you're a home user, that might be painful because you have to send all of the data up, possibly a slower uplink. After a full backup has been done, incrementals, every backup after that is incremental. So there's this cleaning to reclaim space, but you never have to upload a full copy of all of the data again.
Is that incremental, file level or sub level, sub-file level?
We can do both.
I was wondering if you use the cloud like a simple storage device, or you used any APIs, because I think that one of the things that could be advantages, and I think that Garth was talking about this yesterday, was if there is a way to take advantage of some APIs that will do this stuff directly to the storage and in a more efficient way.
So I'm not sure I entirely understood the question, so let me see if this is... So examples, so in this case something like, in this case the client has to do data reorganization for cleaning, and you'd like perhaps an API at the server to do that?
Yeah.
So we haven't really investigated that question. That's certainly a possibility. On the other hand, if, depending on the trade-offs, by moving more of the work to the client, we're able to give better privacy guarantees. If some of the work is being done at the server, perhaps you're giving up a little bit there.
Okay, thanks.